Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 17, episodes 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
Let's jump into it.
Let's do it. We start with Coda. Some debrief after Tribal. They didn't like it.
Yeah, they seem shocked. They're that, like, it might have been hard.
Yeah. Ace specifically doesn't like how much animosity came his way. Too bad, Ace. We spent some time with Fong. Randy wants to cut back their rice more to one meal a day. He says that they're over halfway through their rice. Which I understand wanting to ration rice. But this is day 10. Let's say you're halfway through the rice. If they think the merge will happen at, like, I don't know, day 20-ish, 20-something, then I'd be like, you know what? Let's just keep doing what we're doing. Because we're going to get more food, probably. Or we'll just get food from the other camp. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of with the other people. Just like, let's just keep eating.
Yeah, I see your point. I, though, am like, but then are you going to have no food for the last 20 days? But at the same time, as less and less people are there, you'll get more and more food. And yeah. So maybe just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Plus, I think I always think back to Australia when it's like they ran out of food and Jeff was just like, here's more food. I mean, they had to like give up a tarp or something, but you know.
Yeah, I also though look ahead to like new era of just like, cool, no food for 26 days. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he does give them, like, still get food and rewards, and they bargain for, like, a bag of rice and stuff. There's some talk of Randy, Susie, Maddie, Dan. I'm talking about wanting to get rid of GC, and they kind of form an alliance of four, Randy, Susie, Maddie, and Dan. And then we head to a challenge. Nope, not a challenge, a little meetup where they have to all individually rank everybody on their tribe from best to worst in terms of importance. And so they do that.
In value, how valuable they are to their tribe.
Yep. And so they do that. And then they have to stand on these pillars, really making them feel great or bad, showing them how they were voted. And then they're going to pick new tribes. And so Marcus and Maddie were chosen for each of their tribes as being like the most valuable for Coda and Fong. And they start like a schoolyard pick 'em. But they have to alternate tribe choices. And so, like, Maddie has to pick somebody from the other tribe, and Marcus has to pick somebody from the other one. And so we get some new tribes from this.
The only kind of, like, interesting thing that I saw that happened here was that, Bob was ranked third on his tribe, but was picked last for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly was ranked last on her tribe, but when given an opportunity, Ken ended up picking her over Sugar or Bob. I think he also had the opportunity for Bob, but he picked Kelly because he was like, she's ranked last, that means that she's willing to flip on them, she'll come join our side of things and
also
turn on the others. Also, she's hot.
Also, she's hot is what he says.
Yes.
Out loud to everybody. Not like in a confessional, he's just like, also she's hot. Somebody noted, because Jeff asks them, like, hey, do you notice anything, like, after they're all, like, ordered? And somebody noted that, like, one of the tribes was men on top, women on the bottom. But really, that's kind of, like, both tribes, the top three people were men. The only reason that Fong's was a little bit less divided was that they've already voted out two women. So, like, they just have fewer women to, like, show so clearly that it's, like, split. So, yeah.
There was, on the split, Crystal is fourth and Ken is fifth. Randy is third. So Crystal's between them. But Crystal is so tall that like the pillars are staggered. So the person mm-hmm. who is in first is supposed to be like the tallest and the person who is last is supposed to be the shortest. Except Crystal is actually still taller than Randy, who's a step
right.
higher than her. And then the gap between her and Ken is like ginormous. He doesn't even come up to her shoulders. It's wild.
A couple other things of note is they have an odd number of people, so Sugar is not chosen by either tribe, and so that means she's going to get sent to Exile Island until one of the tribes votes somebody out, and then she'll replace that person on the tribe. And then the other thing is, we just saw on Fong an alliance of four get created, like earlier this episode. And then in the first two episodes we saw on Coda, they formed like this like five person or four person alliance. And so that stuff all just got like shaken up from this early tribe swap. Yeah, so we go to Coda for a bit. The old Fong members are loving the camp and bench that Bob has put together. He's like made camp a little bit easier to live around, and so they're happy about that. Susie, who's like one of like the older members that doesn't seem to be like as in with some people, she kind of just plans to keep working hard to kind of show her worth. They get tree mail eventually, which is kind of this like lacrosse stick sort of thing they get to practice throwing a ball around with. And we see Marcus. He thinks that Susie or Randy should go next based off of their challenge performances. On Fong, Ace talks about some cooking ideas, like cooking when they cook rice to throw some ginger or watercress in. And they're like, where do you get ginger? And he's like, oh, I can show you. So like he's trying to like show his worth to the new people to his tribe.
You in your description of what he says took out all of the arrogance.
Oh yeah.
He's very much like, oh, I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ace is the most condescending person I've ever seen on Survivor, I think. It's wild.
Crystal and Jackie.
Also, Kayla has pointed out, Kayla's been watching the season a lot with me, that Ace's accent seems different in confessionals than it does when he's talking to other players. And she is convinced that he amps up his accent in some way when he's around the other players, and that it is in some sense fake.
Oh, I would fully believe that.
Right. Like, it doesn't surprise me at all. I have not noticed it to the extent that she has, but she is like convinced that this is true, which I think is hilarious because I don't really doubt it.
There's some talk with Kelly where she like didn't really feel like part of her original tribe, and so she's thinking of maybe grouping up with some of like the newer tribe members. And then on Exile Island, Sugar, because she already has the immunity idol, chooses the Comfort, which is like a nice hut with a fruit bowl and a hammock. She does some swimming, and so she's just really living pretty good.
She says it was like Christmas morning.
She's hoping to rejoin Fong so that she can be with Ace. And we go to the immunity challenge where they
specifically hopes that they get rid of Kelly and then she can join Fong.
Yeah. We go to the immunity challenge where they're going to play this kind of water polo sort of game, except they're on these inner tubes with these lacrosse sticks.
It looked fun, but hard.
Yeah.
This looks like it would be really hard to do, and as made evident by like three people are playing this game essentially.
Yeah, like everybody's out there, but not many people are actually involved in many of these, which is shown by the fact that Randy scores all three times and gets the win for Coda.
And every time it is Marcus passes to Randy, Randy scores.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
I didn't know that. I don't remember in any of the new modern day Survivor seasons, do they not do like sports games like this anymore? Which then I realized maybe it's just because there's three tribes for so long, so it's hard to do that with three tribes. But I don't remember these happening recently.
But they break into like they could totally do this in like very frequently after merge. They do like a break into two, and half of you are going to get immunity, or half of you are going to get a reward, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't seen the sports much.
This could be the mergatory challenge.
Yeah. So Coda has immunity, which means we spend the rest of the episode with Fong. Ace says, quote, it was like we were legless chickens racing against sleek weasels. You know, the age-old saying.
Right, clearly.
GC thinks that Kelly should go based on her performance, and he takes that to Ken and Crystal. Which I noted because earlier in the episode, there was like a very quick four-person alliance kind of made of Ken, Kelly, GC, and Crystal. And so I just noted that that seemed short-sighted of like, yeah, she did bad in this game, but you need her vote. So like, maybe don't get rid of her right away. Then they also realized that Sugar might come with the idol after they vote somebody off and share it with Ace or Jackie. And so maybe they should get rid of Ace or Jackie. Which Maddie is allied with Jackie, and so he doesn't really want Jackie to go. And so they're trying to like figure out a way to get rid of Kelly, maybe. So Jackie's kind of begging Crystal to like vote with them. And that's kind of where we're at as we head into tribal council. And we see that Jackie gets voted out 5-2. I don't have a whole lot noted down from tribal council there.
Yeah, it wasn't that interesting, other than that, like, this tribe is not getting along. No one likes each other.
Yeah. And so that means that Sugar is going to get her wish. She will be able to rejoin and be with Ace. But Kelly did not get voted out. So we head into the next episode. This camp is cursed. Also of note, I guess, from that episode we just saw was that Coda won. So even though the tribes got shaken up, Fong is back on the losing end here.
Right.
Which
Jeff makes a really big deal of throughout like these three episodes that we're talking about, that like Fong just keeps losing, and he keeps talking about it of like, keep seeing you guys here, and it's like, well, you keep seeing half of these people here,
right? Yeah,
half were not here originally, like try to go shake it up.
Yeah, so we start the next episode. Coda's catching some fish, including a fish that they found that shocks to the touch, which I'm realizing now I meant to do some research on to find out about, and I did not.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about doing that.
And Randy realizes that like he's not, that he might be on the chopping block, and so he needs to work on some of the original Coda members so that way he can stay around. On Fong, after tribal council from the night before, Ace wants to cook some rice just in case Sugar comes back hungry. Sugar's not very happy to see that Jackie's the one that's gone. Sugar says she stopped looking for the idol and hung out in the Sugar Shack instead, because she couldn't find the idol last time, which I noted that seems super suspicious. Why would you not keep looking for the idol?
Oh yeah, definitely suspicious. I did think it was fun that she names it the Sugar Shack, because she's just like, I just get to hang out there now.
Mm-hmm. We see some footage of an elephant that's very near their camp, and so they all like go down to look at it, and they're like, it's beautiful, but also kind of scary how powerful he is. Maddie and Ace go get in their kayak to paddle near it, which was cool.
Why? Why?
I don't know. Get closer.
They're making this like incredibly dumb decision to go get really close to this elephant that they know is dangerous, that they already are pretty close to, and already are getting this like magnificent, amazing view of. But they go and grab in the kayak and like go over, and I can understand making a risk if there's like a purpose for it, if they need to
like closer, get something better
over there. But they're just like, they're like running into the line of fire because they want to run into the line of fire.
How often, like when else in their life are they going to be able to get even closer to an elephant like that?
They're already closer than they've ever been to an elephant.
Yeah, and they get closer.
But what, I don't think that I need to be closer. Why?
Some things are dangerous. I think I would have done this also.
Oh, nope. Absolutely not. I think it was like the stupidest decision.
Oh, no. Sean and I have had this experience. We rented a canoe once and definitely like stopped and paddled closer to shore so we could see that crocodile more up close. It was scary, but you know.
Elephants are so big. I don't feel like you don't have to get that close to it, you know?
I don't know. So we go to the reward challenge where they have to toss fruit through these holes in these mesh walls while other tribe members try to like bat it out of the air.
And I thought this was also a fun challenge.
Yeah, this one seemed good. They could do this in modern day Survivor for sure. The reward is whichever team gets the most weight in fruit, they will get an herb garden, salt, oil, and all the fruit that they caught.
Herb garden was also a very cool reward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, this is a good, this like, I've been thinking this for a few seasons, I think, that like this era of like challenges and rewards and stuff has been very interesting and mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, it's a good variety of things that I feel like modern day Survivor feels more stale. Like it's like the same thing over and over.
Right.
Yeah. So Fong has an early lead, but then Coda works on a strategy where they throw two pieces of fruit at once. So that the way the person swatting it away can't hit both of them. And that ends up working really well for them. And they end up getting 18 pounds of food to Fong's 16, which means Coda wins again. And they send Sugar to Exile Island again. So Sugar goes and lives it up in the Sugar Shack. She refers to it as Eden. This is when I made the realization of like, oh man, James isn't even here. James should be here because of all the Eden stuff. We get some time on Coda. Dan proposes that they stay strong at the merge. And refers to, he's like, we should all stay strong at the merge. Strong Coda. We're the evil empire. And that's what I was like, Dan, like you can be like, why do you have to say you're evil? Like, can't you just be like the good alliance? Like, why do you have to be the evil empire? Some of the original Coda members are worried that Dan is too overzealous. And they're also a little bit worried because Susie is very quiet. And so they're just a little bit shaky on Dan and Susie. We get some time with Fong. GC is annoyed by food rationing, which Crystal just tells him to eat his rice. And he's like, don't tell me what to do. And so they bicker back and forth. Ace is happy that GC is getting upset because he needs the original like Fong group of people to kind of implode and just fight with each other. And that'll be good for him. GC, in his just being upset, he goes on a solo canoe trip, in which it gets to a point where they're like, hey, we got to leave for challenge soon. GC isn't here. And they say to us, I don't know if this is actually real or not, but they're like, if it gets to be challenge time, we just have to go without him and we're down a person.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, like, how much of this do you think was real?
I don't know. I hope that's real. That would be great. Like, I want to see that sometime where somebody just goes adventuring and doesn't come back and they're like, show up to challenge. And Jeff's like, you're missing somebody. And they're like, yeah. They weren't here.
They seem like genuinely nervous for him also. And mm-hmm. We don't see any footage of GC like on this canoe trip. Do you think there wasn't a cameraman with him?
Well,
like, was he actually alone?
I bet there was. Like this point in the series, I think they have a camera person tied to every person. But they wouldn't show that to us because we needed the suspense of like, is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? If we knew that he was like, yeah.
Yeah, I just was like, them being so concerned that he might not come back, I was like, there's probably a producer with him who's going to make him make sure that he comes back, right?
Oh, like, I don't think that's the case.
You think that they would just be told, like, you got to be back at camp at some point because you don't have clocks to figure, like, before we tell you to leave for the challenge?
I think a producer could be like, hey, if you're going to make it back for the challenge, we need to go now. I think he could be like, nope, fuck it. I'm going to skip the challenge. Like, I'm not going to go back in time. And the producer would be okay. like, I think that could happen.
That's fair.
I don't know. I think that could happen in this era. I don't know if that would happen in like modern day Survivor.
I don't really think that the like people just quitting because it's too hard would happen in modern day Survivor based off of like how they cast.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time imagining someone this like giving up in modern day Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. So he does make it back in time. So he's there for the challenge.
Even though he says, yeah, I didn't really want to go.
Yeah.
Or he says, they said that they almost left without him. And he says, that would have been fine with me.
Which this challenge that they go to is kind of weird. So there's people at the top of this hill that have to roll a big ball down a hill, while blindfolded members have to use a shield to try to block that ball from going into a goal, where they have shot callers who are telling them to run like left or right to block it. And so Ace is a defender with Sugar directing him for one team, and then Dan is a defender with Randy directing him for the other team.
I thought this was a fun challenge.
My favorite part of it was
the end
for the win. At one point, Randy yells to Ace like, Ace, freeze, don't move, Ace, don't move. And so Ace listens to him because he's just hearing directions, and Randy's not on his team. He just wanted him to not block the ball, and it worked completely. And I was like, Randy, that was brilliant.
It also, I love that because I was like, that's a brilliant move. And also because Ace had been getting so annoyed with Sugar for like not communicating enough, when I feel like Sugar was communicating pretty well, actually, but Ace was not listening to her very well.
Yeah.
But then like Ace ends up listening to the wrong person, and it's like, well, fuck you, guy.
Yeah. So Randy helps
and, like,
Cope.
It's not like Randy and Sugar have similar voices.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so different. So Randy helps Coda there pull out the win, which means Fawn has another loss, and so we get to spend some more time with them. GC tells Maddie that he's ready to leave the game. Crystal is annoyed by this. Ace has a conversation with Sugar. He's like, listen, I might have to call upon you at some point to play your idol or to use your idol at some point, which she's cool with. She's like, I haven't re-hit it yet because nobody thinks I have it. And then we cut to camp where Crystal's like, hey, you think Crystal has it or Sugar has it? Let's look in her bag. And so she looks in her bag and finds the idol. And so this gives her the idea of like, hey, maybe we blindside Sugar instead of GC. And so that's kind of where we're at heading into tribal council is, can they pull numbers together to blindside Sugar and get rid of the idol? Or do we just vote out GC because he wants to go? So we go to tribal council. GC talks about how it's really hard here and how he just wants to go home. He said he suffered a lot in life and he has like moved beyond that. And he doesn't want to go back to suffering like he has so much of his life. They talk a little bit about whether they think Sugar has the idol or not. No idol is played and GC gets voted out unanimously. And so we head into the last episode we're going to talk about this week, which he's a snake, but he's my snake.
Which is a great episode title.
Yeah, that's a good one. We start off with Fong. Ace is feeling, he's feeling like kind of okay at the moment, but he's trying to figure out like who's going to be the one that's going to backstab me, like who's going to screw me over here.
He thinks that he has he thinks that he has Sugar in his pocket, which he says every episode.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is accurate. I think he does.
Ooh, I think this episode reveals that he's wrong.
Doesn't she? Oh, yeah. I was like, doesn't she give him the idol?
Yes, but then she takes it back from him.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's true. She also openly talks to other people about like, yeah, I know I'm going to have to vote him out eventually.
Yeah. They show Maddie. He's trying to carve out like a sort of ring thing to give to his girlfriend. Ace and Maddie have a talk. They say that until the merge, they will not vote for each other. Or Ken or Sugar. So they make like a deal here and they swear on Maddie's girlfriend and Ace's mother.
I fully expected Ace to then have a confessional saying that his mother has already died or something like that.
Yeah.
He swears on his mother's life. That doesn't happen. So it makes me think that maybe Ace is legit here. But
one of them's going to go against that. They've got to. Like, that's the whole nature of the show.
I did ask, this made me ask Kayla, if someone made me swear on our marriage in the game of Survivor and then I went back against that, would you be mad at me? And she said, no, absolutely not, it's a game. So yeah,
exactly, that's what I hate stuff like that.
Oh, I hate it too. But I was like, okay, good to know, if I ever go on a show like this, I will use this to my advantage with someone who would believe it.
Yeah, people used to do that when we would play Survivor or Werewolf, and they'd like make people promise, and I'm like, that, like, because sometimes they would ask it of people that you know would take it seriously, and I would always think that was like unfair.
Yeah, no, I agree.
We get a little bit of time on Coda. The only note I have there before the reward challenge is that Bob thinks that Dan is talking too much and Corinne is upset by this too. That's the only note I have down. The reward challenge: each tribe is tied to this 20-foot-long, 200-pound snake. They have to race around an oval course trying to catch the other tribe. We've seen a challenge like this a couple times before.
Yeah.
They can choose to drop out whenever they want and leave the weight with the others. The reward is pastries and coffee and tea. And Coda basically just like has the advantage here the whole time. Fawn has several people drop out, which means at one point it's just Maddie and Ace trying to lug this thing, which... There was a moment where like Maddie was like really yelling at Ace, but like the part of the snake that Maddie was holding was like the tail bit, which was definitely like thinner, and Ace had a lot more weight than Maddie did.
Yes. And this thing is 200 pounds. So like it was, even if they were sharing it closely, they each have 100 pounds.
Right.
Running with it. Like that's a lot.
Yeah. And so Coda ends up getting the win here and sends Sugar to Exile Island again. Where she chooses the comfort again, but we see it's not as joyful this time. She's feeling guilty that she's living so well at Exile while people are at her camp are struggling. On Coda, they talk about how to split up the pastries. Oh, this makes more sense. My note before was wrong. I had noted that Bob said he thinks Dan is saying too much. It's supposed to be that he's eating too much, because that's what the theme is that comes back here, is that Dan is just like eating too much food around camp.
That makes sense. I remembered that part, but I remembered it as part of the croissant conversation. And I was like, yeah. I don't remember them talking about Dan talking too much, but I remember them being annoyed with Dan. So maybe. Yes.
Yeah. So they talk about like evenly splitting up the pastries. And then Dan's kind of like, let's just like, people can pick at it when they want it. Which is just cool.
And he talks about like making dinner and then this just being some bonus. Mm-hmm. And they're like, or it could be a replacement for dinner so that we get more food later.
Right.
And he's like, no. And they're like, no, we're going to vote on this. And we're not making dinner tonight. This is dinner.
Yeah. Randy's realizing that others are very annoyed with Dan. And he's like, I should probably distance myself from Dan. We also see the next day they catch a big turtle and they make a stew from it.
Which is awesome. Like, remarkable that they do this.
Mm-hmm. On Fong, Maddie suggests that they do chores today because it's not that hot. And so they should like enjoy that fact. So that way the chores won't be so bad. Not everybody's kind of into that idea. Kelly and Ace are talking. They think that Crystal is kind of on edge, getting annoyed by people, kind of like how GC was. And that's because she was crying after their loss at the reward challenge. So Crystal kind of tracks them down to tell them that her crying after the challenge was not weakness, which I think has the opposite effect of what she was hoping for.
It does, but Kelly really argues throughout this episode that like that Crystal is weak, mostly because of her crying. And mm-hmm. then later she's like, she's not weak, she's unstable, in a whole way that I'm like, very much fuck off, Kelly. Like, yeah, people are allowed to cry.
Yeah, agreed. We go to the immunity challenge, where each tribe has three pairs that are tied together. They have to crawl under a cargo net, race in the jungle to collect something. Each leg will add like more obstacles they have to go through. And then they have to assemble a flagpole to win after they collect all the stuff. So we have Randy and Bob and then Kelly and Sugar as the first pairs. And it's pretty even after that pair. And then it's Corinne and Charlie versus Crystal and Ace. And they lost a lot of return trip. On the previous trip, like Kelly and Sugar had lost some time on like the return trip, but yes. Crystal and Ace end up bringing it back pretty good. So like going into the final leg, it's a little bit close, and ends up being like very close, where it flips and like Fong has the lead kind of going into the flagpole, where Ace takes the lead on the flagpole. Like they're trying to work together and stuff, and Ace is like, nope, let me do it. Like, I got it. And literally he does not have it.
Get out of my way.
Yeah. And he doesn't have it. And Coda gets the win, which means Fong loses again. So we have...
And, like, entirely Ace's fault here. It really pissed me off.
Yeah. We've seen, what, 2, 4, 6... something like 10 or 11 challenges at this point. And Fong has won 2 of them, I think. And I know Fong has switched up tribes at one point in there, but... not a good look for anybody who's been on the tribe called Fong. So we get to spend some time with Fong. Ace wants Kelly gone. Maddie throws out the idea of flushing the idol now because he knows that Sugar would play it later. Ace is like, listen, you don't need to worry about the idol. Don't worry about it. And this is because like Ace is thinking he's controlling Sugar at this point. And Sugar also like suggests giving the idol to Ace and having him hold on to it. Crystal wants Ace gone, and Maddie's like, we can't get rid of him, we need to win. And Crystal makes a very good point of like, we have him now and we're not winning anything, so I don't think we do need him to win. And I was like, that's a good point.
That is, yeah, it is a great point.
Some talk of Ken and Crystal. They don't trust Ace, which means they're also starting to not really trust Maddie because Maddie and Ace are allied. Ken wants to blindside Ace, but Maddie tells them about the deal he made, and he's like, I don't know if I can go against that. Ken talks to Sugar, and she tells Ken that Ace has the idol now, but their talk leads to her going and getting the idol back for herself, which she tells Ace.
Yeah, so I don't think this would be legal in today's Survivor. She gave him
just take it from his bag.
Yeah, and then she just goes and takes it back from his bag and lets him know, like, by the way, I took that. Where I think now the rule would be, if you give it to him, it's his.
And yeah, he would. Yeah, I think you're right. Oh, here at Tribal Council, my first note here. This is what I just said a minute ago. Jeff says, out of 10 challenges, Fawn has won 2. They talk a little bit about Crystal crying. She's adamant that it's not weakness and gets kind of fired up when Kelly says that what she means is unstable. And Crystal basically just shuts it down and says, next question, like, let's move on.
Yes, because unstable is more offensive.
Oh, yeah, completely. And so Kelly ends up getting voted out here 5-1. And that ends our episode. They give us a preview for next week, which says that there's going to be a double tribal council. And the preview shows tons of names getting thrown around.
Including the end of the preview has Susie saying, I mean, I was actually planning on voting for you, which is great.
Yeah. So next week we will talk about episodes 6, 7, and 8 of this season. And then the following week, 9, 10, 11. And then the week after that, we will end the season as we get ready to head into season 45.
Yeah.
Patrick, do you have a luxury item this week?
I will after you do yours.
I'll say fun flavors of standard food items. So I saw some posts recently that Doritos had a new ketchup flavor and a new hot mustard flavor out.
Oh, gross.
And there places I saw them, people were like, the hot mustard ones are really good. Like, love them. Got to get them. And so I went on, I had my mission on like Monday this week. I went to a grocery store in search of these new Dorito flavors. I found ketchup and did not find mustard. So I went to another grocery store and ended up finding the hot mustard ones. Ketchup ones, I really like. They're good.
I don't like ketchup, so.
You probably wouldn't like these because they taste like ketchup. The hot mustard ones.
I do like hot mustard.
The hot mustard ones I thought I would be into, they taste like, if you get like Chinese takeout food and it's got like packets of like the hot mustard, it tastes just like that.
Is it like overwhelming? Because like that's a spicy flavor.
I mean, you know Doritos and how much seasoning they have on it. It is that, but the seasoning is okay, the hot mustard.
Fair, I guess. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just fun to try new stuff. I have almost finished the bag of ketchup, but not the mustard ones.
The bag of ketchup. Gross.
Ketchup chips are like a thing in Canada, and so we get those around here sometimes too, or people will, like, if people go up to Canada, they'll come back with some bags of ketchup chips, and so I don't know, they're pretty good. I like the ketchup ones. Hot mustard I'm not as into.
Oh man, that sounds,
but so what could be good that I'm thinking of now is make a hamburger, just throw a ketchup chip on there, mustard chip on there, because I like putting chips on a burger sometimes. Or that on a sandwich.
That sounds great.
So there you go. That's your condiments. Just ketchup, mustard, chip, and then probably some mayo so you still get a little bit of like the liquid.
Yeah, I was like, you need some moisture there. But yeah. Yeah. We recently got a Dunkin' around here.
Mm-hmm.
America runs on Dunkin'. And Dunkin' recently started carrying some stuffed bagel minis.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like bagels without a hole in the middle, but they are stuffed with cream cheese.
Wait, but mini? Are they like Timbit size, but full of cream cheese?
They're a little bit bigger than a Timbit, or in Dunkin' terms, a munchkin. But they are like, yeah, little mini bagels stuffed with cream cheese. And they are so fucking good.
Plain cream cheese? Do you got options?
It's plain bagels or everything bagels and plain cream cheese in the middle.
Nice.
And damn, I like kind of can't go over to the part of town that has the Dunkin' now without like stopping by and grabbing some of these real quick, because they're so good and they're like just a nice little treat. So if you have Dunkin' around you, listeners, stop by, grab some stuffed bagel minis. I've only had the everything variety because I'm a sucker for everything bagels, so I guess I can't speak for the plain bagels, but they're real tasty. They're like shockingly good.
All right, cool. Yeah, listeners, check it out. Let us know what your favorite chip variety or bagel variety is.
I strongly advise you against putting a ketchup chip on your stuffed bagel, because that sounds super gross.
No, you know, I think that's fine. We used to do like bagel deli sandwiches a lot growing up, and that'd be like cream cheese, and then we would do like lunch meat and like ketchup.
I literally had that for lunch today, but not with ketchup. I don't want to put ketchup on that.
Oh, you never put ketchup on them? I always do.
No, I don't. Again, I don't like
but ketchup. You don't like ketchup. Yeah, so that, okay, that's okay. I would do that. So, yeah. So, actually, that like, sounds fine to me.
I just do like bagel, cream cheese, and then like lunch meat and cheese. Like, I don't put really any condiments other than the.
Yeah. Well, you can throw a ketchup chip on there or a hot mustard chip.
You can do mustard.
Yeah. So, listeners, email us. Let us know your thoughts on chips and bagels and whatnot. Email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. And for this week at Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
ABCDEFG.